in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Father, we are gathered here this morning to bring you honor and glory, to bring you our worship. And so, God, we just pray a blessing this morning that everything in our minds and our hearts, the busyness of our lives, you will take away, that you allow us for the next while to concentrate and focus solely on you. We thank you for loving us. This morning, God, we especially thank you for our mothers. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So here's a question for you. What do Leonard Bernstein, anybody know who he is? The West Side Story. The movie Titanic. You guys all know that one, I'm sure. Pale Rider with Clint Eastwood. And the great philosopher and theologian Kanye West all have in common. Yeah, so what it is they've all worked Psalm 23 into their art, into their tradecraft. Psalm 23 it's the go-to psalm when people are going through the storms in their lives. And those storms, as you know, may build up gradually. You can see them coming from the southwest as they're getting bigger and closer. Or maybe you're out on the golf course and suddenly they're just there. And those storms show up suddenly. Regardless of whether or not you're in a storm, whether or not it's taken a long time to build up or just shown up, this psalm provides comfort. And we're going to say it together this morning. So recite Psalm 23 with me. Now, I should say that this is from the NIV. It's from the new NIV, so some of the words are going to look a little bit different. And if you grew up learning it on the King James Bible or the older NIV or whatever it is, the words are a little bit different, but the meaning is the same. Will you say it with me? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
As we gather here today, We, as each Sunday, we come to hear God's voice, hear God speak to us. It's not about the songs that we sing, these singers, what I say, prayers that are said, but it's what God is saying to each of us. And one of the first words that when we come into worship is we hear God's greeting. It's a words from Scripture, but it's God's voice to you and I. And so hear these words, where it says from the book of 2 Peter, to you who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a precious faith, a valued, treasured faith, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. We also want to greet one another. Again, this is a friendly gesture for sure. But really, when we reach out to those around us, we are understanding that we have this common bond of faith together. We understand that we share trials and struggles, and we know that the Lord is our help. And so as you, with a smile, and as you greet each other with a hug or a handshake, remember those things. Let's greet each other. Thanks. Bless you.
Romans 8 tells us that nothing can snatch us out of God's hand, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love never fails. His love never gives up.
While Jesus may have called Peter the rock upon which he would, whom he would build his church, he quoted Psalm 118 when Jesus said this about himself: "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Jesus was, is, and will always be the capstone. He is the cornerstone.
Well, you're probably wondering why we're sitting up in here in these comfortable chairs. You know, this is in part to calm our nerves, but probably not really happening, is it, Tim? So no doubt it's the first time Tim is doing something like this. We're going to have a little conversation up here. It's not something that I've typically done either. So, you know, my nerves are a little up there too. So we're glad we have these comfortable chairs, maybe to kind of ease that just a little bit. A part of planning for Weathering the Storm series, we wanted to incorporate stories of those of you who have gone through trials. And this Sunday and the next three, we're going to be incorporating that into the service. Next week will be more of a video presentation, and today a live conversation, and then 2 weeks from now another live conversation. And so, Tim, thanks for the courage to come up here and share a little bit about your life and some of the pain that's happened in your life. And so, first of all, just share a little bit of you know, your family, who you are, and we'll just start there. Introduce yourself.
My name is Tim Ruttman, and my wife Nikki, who is not able to be here today, she's working at the hospital. We've been members of this congregation for 20 years now. I guess minus a couple years we were moved to Sioux Falls, but yeah, that's details. 20 years is close enough. We have one daughter, little Sophia, and yeah, so.
Okay. And we're hearing him okay up there. I know at first it wasn't, but we're a little bit louder. Just adjust it just a little bit here. Let's try that.
It's better. Might be easier just to look down like this. Oh, that's all right.
They're working all right? All right. So, Tim, obviously you're up here because you've gone through a trial, and no doubt, like many of us, you've gone through many trials in your life. But just tell us a little bit about your experience that you want to share with us today, and just kind of what you went through.
Yeah. Obviously, the past year, I mean, we've all had storms come into our lives. You know, this series could be last all summer if we tried to fit everybody up here to tell their stories. But fortunately, I guess you guys asked me to volunteer to do this, and I said I would. So it was late last May, early June, my sister started having some abdominal pain. And I think she's put it off for a few days and thinking it would go away, and finally made an appointment with her doctor, and they couldn't figure out what it was there in the clinic. So the next day they made an appointment for her in Sioux Center at the hospital to get a CT scan. And you know, supposed to be something that's completely routine. She drove herself there, fully expected to drive herself home the next day. And unfortunately, while they were preparing her for this scan, there's a type of dye that they need to give you, I guess, for the scan to work. And she had a severe allergic reaction to that dye, and they believe that that also caused her to have a heart attack. And she passed out, lost consciousness, quit breathing. They worked on her for a while in Sioux Center. They thought they had some kind of a pulse yet, and they flighted her to Sioux Falls and worked on there for a couple hours, and ultimately, she passed away, which was, really difficult given she'd just turned 40. She had a husband, she had four kids at the time, ranging from 17 to 4. So, that's just the horribleness of it.
When you first received that news, I assume somebody phoned you. Mm-hmm. What was going on in you at that very moment?
A lot of confusion, I guess, really. I mean, I'm at work, I'm in meetings, I'm getting texts, I'm getting phone calls, I excuse myself, you know. I'm 4 hours away, you know. Do you pack your bags? Do you fly up there right now? I made a decision, you know, well, let's just wait. They're going to get her to Sioux Falls. Let's see if they can stabilize her, and then we'll let you know. At the end of the day, it was, you know, pack your bags, and, you know, we flew up there after work, and, you know, never made it to the hospital. They had pronounced her dead before that, but, yeah, it was confusion, concern, definitely a lot of praying and a lot of, you know, just scared for the situation.
Right. So yeah, a lot of fear in that situation. Mm-hmm. Other feelings that came on really, really strong and that you really wrestled with, you and your family?
That week, you know, if I look back, it's, and even going through it, it just seemed kind of like a blur, you know. There was just kind of maybe a feeling of disbelief there at first. I mean, is this really happening, you know? Are we really meeting with a funeral director right now for planning my sister's funeral? Yeah. I mean, it was something I've never had to do before, so I guess I'm blessed in that way. But it was definitely felt like a dream, you know, almost. And then, you know, when you start to realize everything that's happening and it's, you know, you're going through it, you know, you get this gut pain in your heart, and it feels like somebody just drop kicked you in the chest, and you know,
it's hard to
describe
it, but that's
right.
A pretty good description.
It just weighs heavy on your chest. Yeah. And it's, I don't know, it's hard to describe. And yeah, with your line of work, you probably know what the stages of grief are or whatever, but obviously I think there was some anger. You know, I mean, you know, why God, why Carrie, why now, you know, those types of things.
So amid those feelings and that kind of a question, you know, how did this whole experience affect your relationship with God, change it? Describe some of that process of your journey with God through all of that and those feelings.
Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately, I think it's brought me closer to him. You know, there's obviously some times of, you know, you feel probably a little less close at, you know, during those times of kind of being a little bit mad or upset about the situation. But there's ultimately, I think, we just need to, you know, trust him and his plan and lean on him, and I think in the end I think it's brought me closer to him. And there's just been, I don't know, maybe since then it's changed things a little bit. I don't know, everybody goes through this. I mean, I had three coworkers, that one coworker last April, his sister committed suicide. She's like mid-30s. I had another coworker whose mom had a slight heart attack in northern Iowa, and they brought her in a few days later to put a stent in an artery, and she passed away on the operating table. I had another coworker whose mom passed away from a brain aneurysm, and then like 10 days later, her mom's mom, so her grandma, passed away. And
the storms,
they just seemed like they were rolling through. And earlier this year, I had a cousin that I didn't know really well, but she was like low 30s, two small children, had liver problems, passed away. Nikki had a cousin who had brain cancer a few years back. They treated it, she recovered, brain cancer came back earlier this year, really aggressive. She passed away. In both of those situations there, you're left with a young husband with two small children.
And then there's your own father struggling with cancer.
Yeah, my father, and he's the one with the nine lives, I guess you could say. I mean, he's had bouts of cancer five times and other major surgeries and, you know, just, but in the end, you know, as long as we're trusting God and leaning on him, he'll get us through.
Do you ever really get over those things, like the passing of your sister?
No, I don't think so. Being 4 hours away and not seeing her every day or talking to her every week or, you know, that type of thing, I think you're a little bit insulated from it. You know, it's Jeff and the kids, you know.
Yeah, you think of them a lot.
Right. Sure. They woke up and saw her every day. They got off the bus from school and saw her. Mm-hmm. You know, she was there every night. And those are the ones that you think of and hurt. And, you know, my mom and dad, we lived in California for a long time. We were thankfully, last February, we moved them back to Hall. So they at least had 3 months to spend with Carrie and see her, you know, spend some time with her. Because, you know, if they were still in California and all this went down, that would have been... I think that would have been really
on them.
Devastating for them, yes. Yeah.
So Tim, when you just think about that whole experience and you know, the time since she first died and until now and just that whole journey, what have been some things that have been the most helpful to you? Powerful scriptures that have helped carry you through, but other things, what's been most helpful?
There's a number of things, I think. You know, the way the community pulled their church and Hall, the community pulled together to surround them with meals and just various things. I mean, you got a good sense that they were going to be well taken care of. So I think that was some comfort. And my understanding is people still bring them meals, 11 months later. So, you know, this might not surprise some of you who know me, but running, I remember last summer, I go out for a run and that's get some of those feelings out, you know, during that run rather than bringing them home or that, you know.
Right.
Yeah. You know, driving back and forth to work, listening to KNWI, that's, you know, they say it's uplifting music. There's a lot of good songs on that station, and there's some of them seem to just come at the right time, like they say on their on the radio, you know. You know, I said this at her funeral, and you know, I think God has a plan, and you know, I think Genesis 1 verse 1 should say, in the beginning God had a plan, and you know, throughout history that plan has been taking place, and we may not understand, you know, why things happen or why we need to go through things or why God allows things to happen. But he has a plan, and, you know, last June when Carrie died, he wanted her in heaven with him, and I don't know, how do you argue with that?
Yeah, lots and lots of things we don't understand.
Yeah.
That's where faith really, gives you that strength, even though you don't understand it. You wrestle with God, like you said, you ask the questions of why, God, you had the anger about it, but... you know, you come back to the bedrock of your faith.
All right, like you said last week, Pastor Bartlett, you got to build that foundation on the rock ahead of time, because when the storm's coming, you're not going to have time to build it. And if you wait till afterwards, it's going to be too late.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, Tim, for coming out. I don't know if there's any last word you want to say here today, but thanks again so much for coming up and for the courage that you've had to do that. And we'll definitely continue in prayer for your dad, for your sister's family.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks. Give him a round of applause for his courage, right? Give me just a second to get transitioned. Yes, the flag. Follow the flag for children in worship. I have too many papers, I think, up here. I had that in my notes up here, but it was looking at the wrong page. Well, I certainly want to... as you know, no doubt do for every service, but ask you to continue in prayer for this series. You know, it was an idea brought forth from the worship committee, and Nate and I and Pastor Al agreed to be part of it, and we certainly consulted as far as, you know, what our messages would be from week to week. But it's not like we sat down and you know, totally worked out our series and shared a bunch of notes of what we were exactly going to say. But, you know, it's true with any, even if one person, one pastor was doing a series, there's always a tendency in a series to repeat things. So, you know, if you hear things repeated, that's okay. Maybe they're just things you need to hear a couple few times, all right? And as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, we are here to hear God speak to us. And so in all of these messages and any message you hear, seek to hear God's voice for you, what he wants you to gain from any message here today. So today, once again, weathering the storms, my theme is, what do I do with the pain I feel? Focusing on Psalm 13. But I'm going to be sharing lots of scriptures with you and immerse yourself in scripture. So this is just really the starting point. Psalm 13. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Let's take just a moment in prayer. God in heaven, as we've heard this scripture and as we will hear other scriptures, we pray that you will bless us through these words. And Lord, if it brings us to the pain or to tears, so be it. And let us know that your healing power and grace in our lives today. And let us confess your goodness and your love always. Bless us now, we pray through your word. Amen. I want you to think with me a moment about what is most helpful to us when we experience the questions and the struggles amid the storms and trials of life. I think one of the things that we really need to know, or what we really need, is that life means something, that life has a purpose. And I believe that one of the greatest meanings in our lives our relationships. Relationships, both your relationship with God, but also your relationship with others around you. Oh, we may complain about people, we may complain about our families even sometimes, have issues with people, but when it comes down to it, one of the greatest meanings in our lives are our relationship with our family, our friends, those closest to us. And so I ask that question, and I want you to wrestle with that question today. What do I do with the pain I feel? We don't like physical pain, obviously. We'll take some painkillers if that pain gets too excruciating. They're there for that comfort. But neither do we like unpleasant feelings of emotional pain, like sadness or rejection or depression, anger, fear, and uncertainty. Those kind of rattle our soul a little bit. When we look at Psalm 13, I'm going to share other scriptures as well. One of the first relationships that come into focus is our relationship to God. And where do we find that meaning? How does that meaning begin? In crying out to God. Crying out to God. It's our prayers, our wrestling with God. And Psalm 13 is one among many of the Psalms that demonstrate what is helpful amid life's troubles. Now, you and I, we may push back a little, or maybe a lot, at hearing that. Who wants to think about all their hurts in life? I mean, think about what Tim shared here today and sharing experiences of others in his life. That's a lot of hurt going on there. Who wants to really focus on that? We all have them, however. That's undeniable. And because we don't like to feel those unpleasant feelings, we're often trying to escape from them as fast as we can. But all we are doing then is stuffing down our hurt inside of us. Now, I made up this disorder. It's not a psychological disorder, but I made up this disorder, okay? It's called the stuffing disorder. Nothing sophisticated, nothing fancy, right? The stuffing disorder. Now, think about it in this way. When you or I stuff ourselves with way too much food, you know, like at a buffet, you've done that before as well as I have, right? And what happens? You get pain in your stomach because you've stuffed your belly too full, right? You know what I'm talking about? I see some heads nodding, yeah. Cody over there, I saw you. But what happens when you keep stuffing your feelings down inside? Same thing. Not stomach pain necessarily, but it could be. But depression, anxiety develops, great anxiety, fear, anger outbursts may come, panic, something happens and you're just rattled, you don't know what to do, become withdrawn, maybe kind of emotionless, illness, when you are in emotional distress, it comes out physically. It's a good sign for us. Emotional pain, as I mentioned that last, affects us physically. I mean, it says it in Scripture, Psalm 31:10, my life is consumed by anguish, my years by groaning, my strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak, right? Achy bones and you feel weak. Affects us physically. But you see, when we live in this denial of our feelings, we start believing that the best way to handle those things that hurt is not talk about them. Just kind of sweep them under the rug. Ignore them, stuff them in, deny and escape them. But realize we are no different than anyone else here on this planet, here in this room. We all experience hurts and pains of life, sufferings, the storms. Someone experiences a new diagnosis of cancer or diabetes, or faces life limitations, physical limitations and limitations to their life because of health concerns. I mean, I thought of this very, very real is in regards to the Hammonds. You know, LaVon has gone through battle with cancer, and that's kind of, that's in remission. And then Paul injures his hand in a significant way. You know, that saying, when it rains, it pours, it seems. And your heart goes out to them. A loved one or a friend dies or is a victim of a tragic accident. And no matter what the reason, divorce is painful. It's painful. Job loss, painful. And you start to question your abilities. Being wronged by someone, betrayed, a loved one, maybe someone that you've loved and cared about, betrays you in some way, wronged you. Do you ever feel discouraged and you really don't know why? I've been there. You don't really know why, but you hurt inside, and it's likely because you've been stuffing those feelings down of different things that have been going on in your life. Well, let me continue the example of Scripture, this crying out to God. It's throughout Scripture. It's come more poignantly in the Psalms, of course. Psalm 77, will the Lord reject forever? I mean, put yourself in your struggle and pray these. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Psalm 6, verse 3, my soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Psalm 88, I'm overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. I'm counted among those who have gone down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you, saying, like, but it doesn't seem like you hear me, God. He's being very honest with God. And he's saying, look and see, there's no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. And even back in Psalm 13, he says, look and answer me, O God. He's demanding God to say something. It gets that real with God. Have you been there? I know you have, some way. Claire and I have cried out to God in agonizing prayers. Last summer, our daughter-in-law, and you prayed for us, prayed for them, probably didn't know all the details, I don't remember how much we shared, but in her last trimester of her pregnancy, She was hit with anxiety, and she hit bottom. She hit bottom with her anxiety. She had this promise of hope of a child coming, and all the different factors that came together. I'm not going to get into all that, but she was just wrenched with anxiety to the point where she was on suicide watch. Our son had to watch her constantly because of the things she was saying, and eventually hospitalized on suicide watch. And our hearts grieved for them and longed that things would get better for them. And they did, but at the time, it's very painful. And then their son was born 6 weeks early, and if you remember, we prayed for his severe acid reflux. He had that for about 5 months, and you can say today he's done with that. He's healed of that, and he's doing very well and growing well. But at the time, with your children, your heart goes out to them. And I don't know if how many of you know our story. And serving in the church, the last two churches that we served didn't end very well. And by the time the first one was bad enough, the second one can imagine. I was feeling so lost, so desperate to know what does God want from me, for me. Felt betrayed by the church. Felt like I was in a desert, lost, not knowing what to do. Wanting just to give up on the whole business. At a church ministry, that is. These are things we go through. We don't understand them. When you think of these psalms, they are God's word to us. And they are telling us something very practical and something very needed. They tell us that it's okay to hurt. It is part of life, but it's okay, and it's okay to express those feelings, and we need to express them. It's okay to cry and feel discouraged and feel angry. The psalmist in our text isn't silent in this hurt. He cries out to God, how long will you forget me forever? Will you reject me? That's what it's feeling like. In the Bible, this is not expecting a factual answer from God. This is called lament. Lament. These are lament psalms. So I like to think of our emotions like a release valve on a pressure cooker. You know that valve on the pressure cooker, if it wasn't releasing some of that pressure pretty soon, the lid would blow off the top, make a mess of your ceiling or whatever. Well, emotions are a release valve for us. There are ways for us to express ourselves, to let some of that pressure inside go, and it keeps a balance to life if we are expressing those feelings. Most of us have a hard time being very sad and having those tears come. Remember a time like that? Just couldn't hold back the tears. But when that happened, didn't you feel better, even if it was just for a short time after that cry? See, God made us in such a way that when we cry, there's chemicals that are released and that bring some comfort to us. It's God's gift to us. Tears are like a healing ointment for our soul. We also have the example of Jesus himself when we think about expressing those feelings. Jesus, the divine Son of God, but the perfect man who expressed his emotion. He wept at the graveside of his friend Lazarus who had died. He got angry and overturned the money changers' tables in the temple. And he agonized. He even agonized in the garden that God would let his mission to the cross go, that he wouldn't have to go through that. And then, of course, on the cross, while feeling physical and emotional pain, Jesus himself, the perfect man, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's very real with God, with his emotions. And you need to know today that any expression of your feelings is not wasted air. When you express them, they're not just being absorbed into the nothingness of space. But like the psalmist, we are directing our crying out to God who hears and cares, and he's the only one who can do anything about our struggle. He has the wisdom and the power. And know that in crying out to him, you are affirming your relationship with him. You're crying out to him. And he wants that kind of open relationship with you. You can be brutally honest, and he won't lash back. He cares about your pain. What do you do with that? What do I do with that pain I feel? Know what it is. Know what you're feeling. And cry out to God. That's the beginning and the continued process of accepting the pain and finding comfort and hope again, as bad as it feels at the time. The second thing we need to do with our pain is to share it with other Christians. That is, express how you feel with another human being. This is not easy for us. We fear so many things when we do so. We fear being hurt, that someone may not keep it confidential when we've asked them to. We feel that somehow they will use it against us, betray us. Just the discomfort of exposing ourselves or and being thought of as weak. All these fears come up. I Google what we fear the most. Among the top 10, the fear of intimacy. The fear of intimacy. The fear of getting too close to people. Also listed in that top 10 were the fear of rejection and commitment, which are very much tied into this fear of intimacy. The fear of getting close to people. One person summed it up this way in what intimacy means. Play on the word. Intimacy. Intimacy. We want to appear all put together, and so we fear people seeing into us. We don't want others to see our faults and our frailties, and so we become tight-lipped and emotionless. We want to appear perhaps better than most, and dare I say it, perfect. And so we are afraid to become too close. And really, this is all about our pride. It really is. When we don't want to open up, it's about our pride. Wanting to run away. Wanting to seclude ourselves. And you see, if we are that way in the church, we are merely individuals rubbing shoulders with only superficial relationships. I'm not saying you have to tell everybody and anybody and everybody, but there's people within the body of Christ here that you trust, that you relate to well. Those are the people you go to. So why share our burdens? Why share our burdens? I'm going to quickly run through this here in the final part of the message, but why share our burdens? The Bible specifically commands it. When the Bible commands something, it's something that God wants from us to be obedient to Him, but something that's good for us, healthy for us. The Bible commands it. And a number of these scriptures I share are about mutual sharing, but it implies that we need to share it with somebody else and somebody else share with us. But like Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. How do we do that if it's not being told? Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. So we feel the pain. If you know of somebody who is struggling, who is suffering, you feel the pain that they're going through. You can identify through your own struggles that you've had. And then very specifically in James 5, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him. And then even more, therefore confess your sins even. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You may be healed. The Bible specifically commands it. The nature of the church depends on it. The nature of the church depends on it. You, the body of Christ, as we are part of that body, the whole image of the body of Christ is about unity and oneness and togetherness, depending on each other. The nature of the church is about people loving each other. And to love, there needs to be that openness and that sincerity and that genuineness. And how can any of this happen if we are hiding our faults and hiding our hurts? Again, this nature is expressed so well in various scriptures, but Jesus even prayed for our unity, even as He and the Father are one. He said, I pray that all of them may be one. In Ephesians 2:19, you are no longer foreigners. You are citizens with God's people, that you are tied to others, and more specifically, members of God's household. You're a family. You're a family. Ephesians 4. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Well, we know that, don't we? It takes work. It takes some effort to be open and to share together. It takes some intentionality. Romans 12, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. honor one another above yourselves. Yeah, you got to put others first. Reach out to them, but also share with others. A couple other things about why share your burdens. Simply so others can pray for you. So others can pray for you. How are they going to know if you don't share that? How are they going to know how to pray for you? And we have a whole list of people in our bulletin that we prayed for and continue to pray for because we want to do that. We don't want to ignore those needs. So others can pray, and we will pray. When you share your burdens, you invite the presence and help of the Lord through the love of the other. Have you ever experienced a time in a Bible study or just a group of friends together where there's some honest sharing of struggles that happened and you're praying for each other and you really felt the presence of God there with you and among you? He definitely showed up. Or you go and you specifically reach out to someone in a hardship and it just feels so right and you feel God is in that moment. I think this really relates to what it says in Matthew 25, where it says, "And the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you?" All struggles that are there. He says, "When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Then the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So in helping someone and sharing, it's like you're God's presence showing up to them. And that's what happens when we share our burdens. And finally, you give opportunity for mutual testimony of God's faithfulness, care, and help. You know, and that's really the intention behind what Nate shared last week and what's in the bulletin today about wanting to be able to share some of your stories and of God's help and care for you in that last Sunday of May, to be able to share together. And we have that opportunity each week to share God's goodness with God's people. And so I want to challenge you right here to in the next couple of days to think about something that you could share for that May 29 service. Because even amid the storm, you know as well as I those times, those moments where peace, overwhelming, unexplainable peace comes. Tell us about those times. The opportunity for mutual testimony of God's faithfulness. Even as the psalmist in Psalm 13, he went full circle, expressing his crying out to God. And then he's recalling God's past goodness and faithfulness to him and is able to say, "But I trust in your unfailing love." He goes back to what he really believes in. "I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." And so always be thinking, how is the Lord's faithfulness showing up here? How has he been good to me? Because it's there. And so, friends, in our relationship with God and with others, we experience that meaning amid our pain. In those relationships, we find healing and hope and encouragement and comfort. So cry out to God. Share your burden with those trusted people who can surround you with understanding, with encouragement and prayer. Never forget that great act of love that God has shown to us, which is the very core of our faith, is it not? That God himself gave up his son as a sacrifice on the cross. And Jesus willingly went to the cross for our deliverance. The most greatest, supreme act of love there ever has been. And that's the God we turn to. And these are the people we turn to who share that same faith. And knowing that great sacrifice, that great act of love, gives you and I great confidence that when you turn to the Lord, you find a God who truly cares. Amen. Let's join in prayer together. Oh God, our hearts may be heavily burdened today. Many things on our minds, many emotions running through us. We pray, oh Lord, that you will be our refuge and be that calm amid the storm. And we thank you that whenever we cry out to you and however we cry out to you, that you hear us and you care about the details of our lives, and you want us to be honest with you and confess to you, cry out to you. And in those times, Lord, will you wrap your arms of love around us. Lord, you are good, and you bless us with so many good things in this life amid all the possible potential darknesses we can think of. There's so much good, and help us to give you thanks for those things as well, all, and recognize those are all gifts from you. And above all, thanking you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave his very life on the cross for us, died our death. Lord our God, your mighty hand has done great things, and we ask that to continue for the needs that are before us. Lord God, we pray for Lauren Item's cousin. Lord, just share with me this morning about the pain in their family's life. Her cousin, the husband of her cousin Ivory, was killed in a kayak accident over the last few days. Lord, grant them comfort. Grant them peace. And amid that, Lord, Ivory's mother, Jackie, was in the hospital with double knee surgery and not being able to get out and be with them right away. And Lord, we just hope that that's been able to happen now. Lord, we just pray for direction and just for abundance of peace amid that situation for Laura and Ivory and the family. Lord, we pray for your continued healing for Glenn Summers, that you would heal him of his pneumonia. Bring renewed circulation and keep Paul Hammes from infection for his hand. We're thankful that Catherine's surgery went well and she's doing well back at the Carlisle Care Center. Just help us to remember her and continue to pray for her well-being. For Vang Sinope, we pray, Lord, that the doctors can figure out how to help her numbness and droopiness in her face. And Lord, we just pray for complete healing for her. And for Dale Meyer, Lord, may you continue to bring strength and healing to his back. Thankful for the recovery he's made so far. We also want to remember LaVon Miskell's niece, Jan, who's undergoing chemotherapy. Lord, there's so many who have been going through chemo for cancer. And we pray for each one of them, dear Lord. We pray for Darlene's sister-in-law, Sandy. We also remember Kayla's grandfather, Bill. And Lord, we just ask that you would bring that healing, but give that strength from day to day. Help the chemo not to be too devastating on them. They can do its work to bring healing to the cancer. We pray for little Aaliyah Kuiper. You would continue to restore her and strengthen her after open heart surgery. God, we pray for Tessa that you would continue to strengthen her. Thank you for the healing she's received, but may that continue, Lord. For Drew Geiser, Lord, continue to strengthen his legs through therapy. Bless Don and Joan, and as Don is homebound, may you continue to bless them together, and may he always be able to give testimony to your goodness and faithfulness. Lord, we pray that you will bless Sonny Zambrano. Lord, give strength to her legs and using therapy. We pray, Lord, that there be one day she can be freed of her trach, and Lord, just continue to bless her. So, Lord, we commend all of these to you and to your care. Lord, continue to bless this church. Bless students as they have learned here in the programs of church. Thank you for the teachers that have taught them here. Bless our students at school as they finish up school. May you give them perseverance to the end and do well. Bless teachers in that effort as well. Bless our council and pastor search committee as they continue to seek a pastor for us, and bless them in the nomination process for elders and deacons. Lord, we pray that you would help the search team to persevere in seeking for that next pastor. Prepare that person and prepare us for that person. Lord, bless now our offerings for the Back to God Hour International and for radio and television ministries that they undergo in bringing the gospel to people. So, Lord, we entrust our lives to your care. Guide us and protect us. Keep us in your will. Give us much joy in serving you. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. This time, our offerings will be received, and that is for the Back to God Hour International. Folders as well during this time. Any announcements? Anybody have an announcement this time? All right. We do want to acknowledge and give God thanks for our mothers today, but we also want to just extend that, thinking about the mothering qualities that God has given to all women, and also to think of it in this way, even if you are not a mother of a child, you've also likely been a spiritual mother to someone, that you've helped guide someone in their faith and their walk, or led them even to the Lord. And so we want to rejoice in and give thanks for women today and all the mothering qualities. So after the service, please come and take a rose that are up here for you, all right? And if there's some left over, we can just extend that to, teenagers, children, if there's some flowers left over. But we'll certainly want to focus on the adults initially, okay? Well, please stand with me as we close the service with God's blessing and the final song. From the Gospel of John. where Jesus was saying to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Go in peace." Amen.
Is lifted o'er us, we journey.